your weekend breakfast
with Refilwe Mbakanyane on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Let's absolutely walk this talk on this 20th of November, of course, International Children's Day. And in the literature corner this morning, we're speaking to someone who has made it a mission in life, in their work, to further literacy, literature, the love of books in children and school-going children, specifically in the Eastern Cape. And today I'm speaking to author Madoda Ndlakuse, the founder of the Eastern Cape Book Festival. And not only has Madoda founded this the Eastern Cape Book Festival, but Madoda has won the 2021 Nadine Gordiner Short Story Award, and which was published early this year. Two books actually he released in Isixhosa, and one is a book, one is a novel rather, the other poetry collection called Mhlalitshaye Bhayi. And looking forward to speaking to Madoda and congratulating Madoda on this win. Thank you so much for making the time this morning on Weekend Breakfast. Really appreciate it. Welcome to the program, Madoda Ndlakuse. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning, Refilwe. Greetings to your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us about the win for the Nadine Gordimer Short Story Award. Sorry, I got that backwards. The collection Mhlalitshaye Bhayi, rather, is a collection of short stories, and that is what you won, I'm guessing, the Nadine Gordimer Short Story Award for. Tell us about that, and congratulations, of course.
Oh, thank you so much, Refilwe. On winning the South African Award on the short story category, Nadine Gordimer, is also, powerful for me. It's also inspirational, and of course, I must say spiritual, as someone who's been on the writing journey for quite some time. So when I was researching the history of the person herself, Nadine Gordimer,
yes,
she was also awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1991 for her outstanding writing. So having my name, you know, being linked to such a great literary person is truly a blessing. Thank you so much.
I love the fact that you had to go back and research and just to confirm this honor, first of all, and the prize, of course, in whose name this award comes is so very, very important. But you've touched on something key. You've touched on something key, Madoda, and that's, of course, your own writing and literature journey. Talk to us about that, where your love for books, where writing short stories and poetry started. Where did it all begin?
Yeah. Thank you so much for this experience once again. I still remember in my last days, or in fact, just a few years after high school, there was one learner who asked me to write a composition about love. And of course I did. Of course, the first paragraph was to just explain what do I think love is. And of course, I provide some examples that you don't have to just love other people all the time, but you have to love yourself, those kind of things. And surprisingly, the teacher said to this lady, "My lady, we do know who wrote this essay or composition for you." And of course, it is my daughter. So that is one of the turning points of my writing life. You know, to be recognized, even if I left schools, by teachers that I have that thing in me. I have those writing skills. So I started writing in high school, poetry, you know, rhyming it good, dude, you know, those kinds of things. But
yes,
it was more serious at university when I was doing industrial psychology at the Den Vista University campus of Nelson Mandela University. That's when we started the spoken word art movement. And I believe that's where I could feel that I am a writer, even though we were more concerned with performing.
Yeah, you're a writer, you're a storyteller, and the importance for you of writing and telling stories in isiXhosa. Just tell us more about that, because, you know, a key focus of the work that Nalibali, the literacy organization and storytelling organization, does is mother tongue storytelling and the importance of that. So just, you know, tie that together for us, my daughter.
All right. I'm so disappointed in most of our people, especially those that are supposed to be speaking, you know, their indigenous languages on a daily basis. You know, they look down on us, they undermine us because, you know, of more emphasis on isiXhosa. I remember one person even said to me, "Hey, my daughter, you could be so good if all these books that you were reading were not isiXhosa." But I'm afraid. Mm. Well, how are you going to write your biography in isiXhosa? And of course, they laughed, you know. I think it's very, very important to write in mother tongue, because that's where you see the cultural value of reading books in a language that you understand. That's where the learners, that's where the readers of our work, you know, they see themselves in the food that we write about. They see themselves in the finer details, like, you know, the places. When I write about Omdoboa, when I write about Kukumbu, you know, Ishatila Kwaqhalated, you know, they see their history. They can feel, even if I'm writing about the dance stars, even if it's Amapiano, but Amapiano from the township, you know, the readers, they can actually say, "Ah, man, I love this story. And I've been to this kind of a township in Gwalanga or Soweto." So
yes.
Writing in mother tongue is healing in itself. And of course, I'm so grateful to be part of Nalibali because we are, you know, deliberate. We are intentional about this. And it is also encouraging parents' participation to meetings, because they know that if I'm talking about the reading class, Umadoda is going to deliver a talk in isiXhosa. And they think in isiXhosa, they reason more deep in isiXhosa, and they are able to express themselves freely with confidence in their own language.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
And you know, expand on your work with Nalibali. You are a creative training facilitator with Nalibali, that organization. And, you, of course, your mission is to deliver actual books, so the written, you know, the written word, the content, into the hands of young children, into schools and organizations. But you're also training, you mentioned, you know, the fact that you work with parents as well, but you're also training teachers. You're training people that look after young children and early childhood development centers and, you know, going right up. In, to be able to impart the same love, to bring words alive for the children, to bring stories alive for the children. Just what does, you know, being a training facilitator entail? Because it seems like such a dynamic role. It really, really does. But I imagine no 2 days are the same.
It is, Refilwe. For example, if you are in a situation whereby you are required to train teachers. I mean, I always tell them, teachers, I know you are 47 years old. I know maybe you are close to 50, you are 35, but please forget all those ID-based years. Just the 7 feet. So that you can play here.
Yes.
They don't look at me like, "Oh, this guy, he is a father, but he's doing things like children." So, with those training, we get new information, and of course, we embrace the saying that says, children learn through play. So as teachers, you know, I try to take them on their early childhood journey so that they can rediscover themselves, rediscover their passion. And of course, you know, the people that had so much influence in them getting into writing, getting into drawing and reading, and that is always beneficial in my trainings all across the country. It doesn't matter even if I'm training people and in my audience, they are professors, they are doctors. That is not a problem. They are ECD practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
They always enjoy having fun and learning.
Yeah. The importance of parents in all of this, quite often, and I love to ask authors, people that are focused on writing for young children, or people, educators, or researchers that are interested and focused in, you know, literacy and education, I always like to ask the same question, which is, What can parents do, irrespective of the language we're talking about, irrespective of a parent's own level of literacy, because we know that is a challenge in South Africa.
What can they do
to help their children and the children under their care to entrench a love and a love and an appreciation of literature, and to make sure that they help to improve the literacy journey of their children? They don't need to be able to read, do they?
Yay. That's true. This is a great question, Rapilo. Thank you so much for raising it. In 2017, I was afforded an opportunity to go to Bizana in a rural location to train some teachers and parents there. So there was one parent who was saying that, hey, my daughter, I can't even write. I don't know how to read. But at least when my child comes home, I take her book, of course, with their consent, and just look. If I'm seeing that there's a lot of red pens, I can safely say that, hey, something is wrong in school, and then I can just go to the school and visit and inquire about what is going on. But there's a lot that parents can do, especially in terms of storytelling. We've got people that are known as influencers, you know, on Instagram, et cetera, with so many followers. But the real influencers are at home, because they've been influencing us from generations to generations. You know, abo makulu, ogogo, amaxhekwazi, you know, otamkulu. Those are the people with so much knowledge, and it is free. You do not have to have data to ask tamkulu or makulu to tell you folk tales. You know, so I believe that as parents, we do have a responsibility to share what we know about storytelling. You know, the bad thing, Rufila, is that if you can, do a research in Mamelodi, for example, or in Soweto or Kwalanga, all these biggest townships, and you ask each and every household, what is one story that you like and what is one story that you know? They will tell you about the story of Jacob and the wolf. It's always Jacob and the wolf. But why can't parents tell children about the story of this family before they moved to Joburg, before they moved to Gqeberha? Where are their roots? Where are they originally coming from? You know, why can't parents, after, you know, let's say this child is coming from school, that one question, how was your day? That is an inquiry for a great storytelling and facilitation. They can also do that by letting the older siblings tell stories to the younger ones, and vice versa. There is what I love at Nali Mali called the story chain. That's when, let's say, you just provide us with a concept, and of course, I run with it. When I stop, just like relay in athletics, we do that in terms of storytelling. So there are so many basket of activities that parents can do, and please, they must not undermine the power and the future in the art that is storytelling and, of course, poetry.
Batong, my daughter, if we weren't convinced before this, we absolutely are right now. It really, really is within a parent's power to have an impact on their children's interest or love for literature, and of course, engendering and fostering deeper literacy and understanding and comprehension. You know, it's so, so key on this life journey. It's not just the educational journey, but of course, part of why we're speaking to you today, aside from your passion and the very important work that you do in literacy with Nali Mali, is of course this award, this Nadine Gordimer Short Story Award that you won for this year. Just tell us about the collection of short stories called Mhlala Chipai, which was what you won the award for. Tell us about that collection of short stories. We'll move on to your book of poems shortly.
Well, this book, Mhlala Chipai, it is my debut collection of short stories, and of course it has got some funny, powerful, thought-provoking stories that are originated from my lived experiences when I arrived in Port Elizabeth between 1997 January and now. And of course I employ my imaginations. For example, there's a story that I wrote about my journey to work, you know, using a bus, and there was this mother who is very, very good in terms of cooking. I could smell, you know, the meat she was bringing in the bus. So I pretend as if I'm having a journey with this mother from my destination to hers. I mean, I jumped at my stop and went to work. But in the story, if you're reading it, you can see that, hey, Umadoda is continuing following this woman because of me. You know, I write those things for fun, of course. But at the same time, they are imparting knowledge to our learners and they learn new, you know, constructive words. Yeah. I write about trauma. I write about things like, you know, the cat scammers because I've been a victim, you know, and I, yeah, so it's always, you know, healing. To associate those kind of things with writing.
Yeah, and of course, writing has such an impact on the people you're trying to reach, the youngsters you're trying to reach, when the subject matter is relatable, right? It's everyday. It's things that they talk about and see and hear about in their everyday lives. And then, of course, your book of poetry, your poetry collection, and you'll have to pronounce me with the pronunciation here, Inxenga Zendoda, The Thoughts of a Man, is that it? Well, musings, thinking of a man. Tell us about
Man. Interestingly, ladies, they love the title. Even if they don't want to buy the book, they will just say, "My daughter, we love the title of that. We'd love to put our hands on it." You know, this is a collection of poems. Poetry is my first love. When I sent my poetry manuscript to my editor, Mzoli Mavimbela, surprisingly, he then said, "My daughter, you've got such a great quality of poems that I could feel, I could see, you know, I could read between the lines that you are a storyteller. Please submit that manuscript of short stories for me." And after Mr. Mazimbela said that, the rest is history. So in other words, the poetry collection gave birth to the award-winning short story collection through my editor.
Yeah, lovely stuff. When you talk to the young people that you interact with, my daughter, and you talk about a future in this writing, this creativity, this storytelling, what do you tell them are the options available, the avenues available? This might not be your full-time job. This might not be your main job, but I guess you're going to give us a sense of what you personally are getting out of it, knowing that you're published and, of course, recognized by your peers and beyond.
I would love to make mention of one guy by the name of Aphelele Zindlani. This young lady is from Uitenhage. And when I started with Nalibali in 2016, he was fortunate to become of my first, you know, group of reading club members. And that guy, after 2 years, wrote to me something like, "Thank you so much, with my daughter, for the reading club, but mainly, thank you so much for the poetry tips, because now I am the reigning champion of poetry in my region, and I've been an ambassador with an organization that is working with Robben Island, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I've been involved, and this I does not belong to me, to this young lad." So what I'm trying to say, even if I don't just, you know, give them a lecture about careers to follow, but the inspiration in our Nalibali Reading Club is helping these young children, you know, to invest in their own critical thinking power and become who they want to be in life. So hence I'm saying there is a future in this storytelling business.
Thank you so much for your time, for your enthusiasm, for your passion, and of course, a big, big congratulations on winning the Nadine Gordimer Short Story Award for this year. Madota Ndlaguse is the founder of the Eastern Cape Book Festival. He's also a literacy mentor at Nalibali Eastern Cape. My goodness, doing phenomenal work. You can hear the passion and the energy, and the organization, of course, is just a one that does amazing, amazing work.